This is Marriage to the Max, episode number 154. Welcome to another episode of Marriage to the Max. I'm your solo host, Kelly Hurst, and my husband Brett and I are marriage educators and co-founders of Home Encouragement. And this podcast is designed to help you take your marriage to the next level. Well, I apologize to our listeners that it's just me today, but Brett is in a season of incredible busyness right now, which is ironic when I tell you the name of this episode. Most of you know my husband Brett is a pastor, and he has been in the thick of it as with his schedule lately. Tons of weddings, funerals, and even a couple more funerals coming up in the next week or so. So he has got his head down writing and interviewing family members for funeral arrangements and all of that. And he is just swamped. And so I said to him this morning, do you have time to sit down and record with me? And he was like, I just don't. And I said, well, I got to get something out. So it's just me. I apologize. I will do my best to make sure that he is on the next episode. Today's episode is called Time and Treasure. Ironically, we have run out of time for Brett to join us today. But I do want to talk a little bit about something that has come up quite a bit with couples that we have sat down with and worked with lately. Years ago, I heard someone say, I wish I could remember who it was or where it was that I could credit, but the information said this: if you want to know what your real priorities are, take an honest look at your calendar and your bank account. Because how you spend your time and what you spend your money on are your real priorities. We can give lip service all day long and say what our priorities are, but do they line up with how we're really living? We've mentioned on this podcast that we encourage couples to have a weekly business meeting when they can get on the same page regarding their schedules and their money. In fact, we have an episode devoted to this concept called The Married Couples Business Meeting. It's episode number 114, so I won't detail it here, but the reason it's important is because your time and your money are both forms of currency. They're forms of life currency. Both time and money are limited commodities that you need to be intentional about protecting. These are areas where you want to be transparent. You want to be proactive, purposeful. You want to have integrity around them so that as your family grows and becomes more active and involved with outside activities, you can manage the moving parts of your family without getting completely overwhelmed. So managing time and money effectively is crucial for a harmonious marriage. Let's break down some tips that I think might be helpful for married couples. We'll start with money. First is whether or not you share all of your finances or you have a separate financial approach or some sort of hybrid model, there are some things you need to remember. One is you've got to discuss your financial priorities and set shared financial goals. There's a lot of emotional baggage around money. I don't know why, but most of us were not encouraged or taught when we were young how to really connect money to what money represented for us. But we've got to learn to talk, particularly with our partner, about what money means to you, what it represents. Talk about how money was discussed or not discussed when you were growing up in your family of origin, because that's where most of this kind of formative mindset around money took place. I remember being a kid and asking my dad, I think I was in elementary school, and I asked my dad, like, how much money do you and mom make? Because both of my parents always worked full time. And I remember him just saying to me, yeah, that's not something you talk about. You don't talk about that. And I remember thinking, oh, well, why all the secrecy? But that was just kind of how it was in my family. And so a lot of people have that experience. You might talk about how when you asked for money or when you asked for something that to spend money on, how did your parents kind of navigate that? In our family growing up, you know, we weren't poor by most measures, but we were kind of a paycheck to paycheck kind of family. And so, you know, there weren't just discretionary funds to go buy clothes whenever we wanted to or our favorite toy whenever we wanted to. We sort of had to wait and, you know, ask for that for Christmas or ask for that for our birthday. I do remember a lot asking my parents for something and the pat answer was, well, we can't afford that. And I want to encourage you as parents to reframe how you say those kinds of answers to your kids. Because I remember being young and thinking, what does that mean? We can't afford it. Does that mean we don't have any money? Does that mean we're going to lose our house? Like, I didn't know how to interpret that always when I was a kid. So what I wish my parents had done is maybe just explained a little bit more around, you know what, we could afford that if we wanted to use our money for that, but we have to use our money for something else. And that I think would have sort of not made me feel quite so cut off and probably maybe even understood a little bit that you have some agency around money, you know, that even if you are careful about your money, there's still things that you're willing to spend your money on and not willing to spend your money on. So I don't know. That's we tried to do that a little bit more, Brett and I, with our kids. I don't know that we, you know, hit the nail on the head every time, but I think that's important to think, especially if you're parents, on how you're talking about money with your kids, but certainly start by talking about it with each other. We also tell couples in the arena of finances is to dream together. You know, remember, money and sex are the two hot button issues in marriage. They're also the least talked about. So we often say there's probably a correlation there between, you know, money and sex remaining hot button issues, often unresolved issues, often because they're not talked about. We tell couples to regularly talk about your finances together. And this includes agreeing on a budget. You don't have to call it a budget. I like to call it a spending plan. That sounds way more fun. But a budget or a spending plan that aligns with both of your financial goals. Remember, this is two people having input around finances, not just one person making all of the decisions. We also say to regularly track your spending. You can do this on a simple sheet of paper, just, you know, write out a ledger. You can do a spreadsheet. You can do a financial software like Quicken. At our house, what we typically do is at the first week of the month, we look back on the prior month and we use a financial software, but we look and see where our money went. And did we stay within our budget? Did we save our money that we allotted in our budget to save? You know, most of the time we don't hit it. And so then we know what tweaks we need to make for the current month. You know, we overspent eating out or we, you know, overspent on miscellaneous stuff, you know, so that means maybe we just have to watch things this month. I think it's really helpful. Most people don't really know where their money goes. So tracking your spending, I think, is a really helpful thing. Paying off your debt as much as you can. There's lots of online resources about how to tackle this. Or at the very least, agree together what you consider healthy debt and not healthy debt. For a lot of couples, they might consider, you know, say a mortgage and a car payment. You know, perhaps they think of that as healthy debt, or maybe they've got school loans that they're trying to pay off. But they might say, you know, but we don't want credit card debt, or we don't want, you know, just some other sort of consumer debt lurking over us, because that can really be a heavy burden, particularly when you're trying desperately to pay that kind of stuff off. And then we also tell couples to look ahead to what bigger expenses are on the horizon. Right now, Brett and I are thinking, we got to get a new roof. We're in a house for over 20 years now, and the roof is going to be the next big expense. So we're already kind of having that conversation around, when is that going to happen? You know, how much money do we need to be saving between now and then to do that? I think that helps. And you can't always plan on bigger expenses because sometimes you just have the car breaks down or, you know, something happens and you just have to pay the piper. But when you can, it's great to talk about what bigger expenses might be on the horizon. We also tell couples to collaborate on financial responsibilities. You've got to share financial responsibilities. Divide up your financial tasks, such as paying the bills, putting money in savings, managing investments, doing your income tax filing, all of that. Who's good at doing what role? At our house, I do kind of the day-to-day work. I pay the bills. I move money to savings. I watch our budget, make sure we're kind of in line with everything. Brett kind of has more of an investment mindset, so he kind of looks at those things. He, every year, has done our income tax filing. I have never had to do that. So it kind of goes back to just who's good at doing what, you know, and who has more of a passion around which role. But make sure you're sharing the roles, because if one person is doing everything financially, it ceases to be kind of both of you having input and both of you having responsibilities. And then finally, we just say in the area of finances, support each other and use pronouns like we, our, and us when you talk about your money. Say things like our money, you know, say things when we spend, when we buy a new roof, you know, that kind of thing. Even if you have some money of your own, or, you know, you kind of have some hybrid version of, you know, discretionary money that you spend, or maybe your own checking account that you use for certain things, still have the mindset of all of our money is all of our money. And I think when you do that, it makes it much easier to plan, dream, support, collaborate, all of that. So those are some tips about money. Now let's talk about time. The thing we've been talking to couples recently is just this: ruthlessly eliminate busyness from your life. I'm going to say it again. Ruthlessly eliminate busyness from your life. Just because it is normal to be overcommitted, just because it's normal to hurry from one activity to the next, to not have enough time for self-care or relational connection, just because that's normal and all of our neighbors do it, doesn't mean it's good. And it doesn't mean you have to play the game, because love relationships require time. And if we're blowing and going, when are we going to have time to look each other in the eye? When are we going to have time to dream together or to laugh together just about nothing or just to do nothing together? Those things require built-in time. And when we don't have time, our love tanks get really, really empty. And we need to be very careful about that. Take a hard look at your calendar and define how busy you want to be. How busy you want your family to be, because you're the only one who has control over this. You know, if you say a weekly date night is important to you, do you put that on your schedule before something else takes it over? If you say it's a priority for your family to eat dinner together 3 nights a week, who is making sure that happens? If you know that self-care is vital for your mental health, where does that fit in? Because there's not ever going to be this angel on your shoulder that comes and says, okay, now, while you're doing your calendar, make sure you've got 3 dinners on the calendar as a family, or date nights, or self-care, or whatever it is. Now, I realize this can sound like a privileged person's conversation, and that's probably very true. A lot of us don't have a choice whether or not we have to work full time, or whether we have to work 2 jobs, or whether we have to help with aging parents, or if we have a special needs child, or, I mean, I get it. You know, a lot of us have things in our life that we just can't really control. We just have to do them. But I will say, I think we have more agency over our scheduling decisions than we may realize. And for those of you who are parents of multiple kids involved in maybe multiple sports, extracurricular activities, all of that, I do. I feel your pain. I really do. But I also have to remind you that you are the gatekeeper for your children. And if you're raising overcommitted kids, they will grow up to become overcommitted adults. And I know that's just kind of sounds like a harsh thing to say, but it really is true. And I don't know about you, but I just don't want to live like that. I really don't. And I also recognize that there are seasons of our life that are much busier than others. Like right now, Brett is in an incredibly busy season for work, but that will taper off. And once we get back to our regular schedule. Our regular schedule is not burdensome. Our regular schedule is manageable. So I understand that when you're in a particular type of season, you know, it's just like these conversations are really annoying because you're like, well, there's nothing I can do about it right now. So I encourage you to step back and go, okay, when this season is over. But what happens is a lot of times with couples is we'll talk about and they'll go, well, we're just in a really busy season. We go, well, okay, when this season, you know, when spring baseball ends or when soccer, kids soccer, the season is over, then what? And a lot of times they'll say, well, we're just in a whole nother busy season of a new sport or a new whatever. And we go, okay, that's kind of what we're talking about is, do we never arrive at a regular schedule that is not burdensome? And so that's what we want to encourage couples to think about and have conversation around. In the end, this really is an integrity issue, or at least for me it is, because I want to be a person of my word. I want to be someone who lives my life according to my guiding principles. So what do we need to do to integrate those things so that we're living out what we say is important to us? Well, if you'd like to contact us, you can find us at marriagetothemax.org. And if you're enjoying Marriage to the Max, help us keep it going by supporting Home Encouragement. Just go to homeencouragement.org and click the donate button. Any amount helps. And we would be thrilled if you would rate us with a 5-star rating and write a review on Apple Podcasts or follow us on Spotify, whatever podcast platform you're listening to. This helps more people to find Marriage to the Max. Well, thanks so much for listening today. And until next time, remember, healthy marriage, healthy world. God bless y'all.